Marked, I ordered the Shadowlander officers to join me. Several score did so, but most had chosen to stretch their legs. Their class was more committed to the Shadowmasters than were the rank and file. I told the Shadowlander officers, "There is a price for freedom, as there's a price for everything. You are mine now." "You owe Kina. She asks one task of you." They did not ask what. They wondered if they had been stupid to stay. "Continue to beleaguer Dejagore, but don't fight the men trapped there. Take them prisoner when they try to escape, expecting only those called the Nar. They're enemies of the goddess." That was what they had been doing anyway, I learned. The flooding had played havoc with what food stores remained in the city. Mogaba's rationing ignored the natives. Disease was rampant. The natives had revolted already. Mogaba had thrown hundreds from the wall to drown. The lake swarmed with corpses. Such draconian measures had cost Mogaba the support of many of his soldiers. They had begun deserting. Thus, the prisoners in the camp stockade. There had been nothing but silence from that stockade. Maybe the prisoners did not know what was happening. Maybe they were scared to attract attention. I sent Blade to let them out and tell them where to find Mather. If the Shadowlanders did not stop me, I'd have to accept this absurd twist as real. They did not raise a murmur. At dawn they marched off to take their posts in the hills. Narayan sidled up, wearing his biggest grin.
"Have you doubts yet, mistress?"
"Doubts? About what?"
"Kina. Have we her countenance or not?"
"We have somebody's. I'll take Kina. I haven't seen anything this unlikely since my husband... I wouldn't believe it if I wasn't here."
"They have lived under the Shadow Masters for a generation. They've never been permitted to do anything but what they're told to do. Penalties for disobedience were terrible."
That was part of it. So was the will to defy oppression. And maybe Kina had something to do with it, too. I did not intend looking the gift horse in the mouth. The majority of the prisoners had gone. I had had two held to interview. I told Narayan, "I'll see Sindhu and Mergen now." They came. Sindhu remained Sindhu, wide and stolid and brief. He told me what he had seen. He told me we had friends there. They would stay in place, ready to serve their goddess. He told me Mogaba was a stubborn man who meant to hang on to the last man, who did not care that Dejagore had become a hell of disease and hunger. Mergen told me, "Mogaba wants a place in the annals. He's like Croker was about throwing up times when the company suffered worse." Mergen was about 30. He reminded me of Croker. He was tall, lean, permanently sad. He had been the company standard-bearer and Croker's understudy as analyst. In the normal course 20 years down the road, he might have become captain. "Why did you desert?" It was not the sort of thing he would do, regardless of his opinion of his commander.
"I didn't. One Eye and Goblin sent me to find you. They thought I could get through. They were wrong. They didn't give me enough help."
One Eye and Goblin were minor sorcerers, old as sin, perpetually at loggerheads. Together with Mergen, they were the last of the Black Company from the north, the last of those who had elected Croker captain and made me his lieutenant. We talked. He told me the men we had recruited coming south were disaffected.